Today, of course, we're celebrating the appearance day of Sri Nityananda Prabhu. We will discuss various aspects of Lord Nityananda, particularly in his relationship with Lord Chaitanya. We'll try to touch on various aspects from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Jai
Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai Advaita Chandra Jai Go Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. Jai Jai Sri Chaitanya Jai Nityananda.
Jai
Advaita Chandra Jai Gaur Bhakta Vrinda. I thought to try and catch you off guard and surprise you by choosing some aspects of Lord Nityananda, which I imagine that are not considered that often. Of course, I know I'm wrong in that here you all fully consider all the aspects. But anyway, just to preserve my misconceptions. I shall attempt to speak a little something from Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. The verse I've chosen is Madhya Lila, chapter 7. The Lord begins his tour of South India. Text 29, the verse for chanting. This verse is highlighting Lord Chaitanya's finding some faults with Nityananda Prabhu. He particularly cited two situations where Nityananda Prabhu did something that apparently Lord Chaitanya didn't appreciate. And we'll try to go behind the scenes and see what is going on. Please, I think someone has to lead the chanting of the verse because I didn't bring my glasses and this book has small print. Sabara, of all the nation. Actually, the Lord was controlled by the good qualities of all his devotees. On the pretense of attributing faults, he tasted all these qualities. Purport. All the accusations made by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu against his beloved devotees actually showed his great appreciation of their intense love for him. Yet he mentioned these faults one after another as if he were offended by their intense affection. The personal associates of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sometimes behave contrary to regular principles out of intense love for the Lord. And because of their love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself sometimes violated the regular principles of a sannyasi. In the eyes of the public, such violations are not good. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was so controlled by his devotees' love that he was obliged to break some of the rules. Although accusing them, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was indirectly indicating that he was very satisfied with their behavior in pure love of Godhead. Therefore, in verse 27. He mentioned that his devotees and associates place more importance on love of Krishna than on social etiquette. There are many instances of devotional service rendered by previous acharyas who did not care about social behavior when intensely absorbed in love for Krishna. Unfortunately, as long as we are within this material world, we must observe social customs to avoid criticism by the general populace. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's desire. What do we have here? What is the situation? We have Lord Chaitanya wanting to leave Jagannath Puri and go for a tour of South India. That desire to visit South India was for the purpose of delivering the people. In other words, Lord Chaitanya wanted to conduct that aspect of his mission. Therefore, he was willing to travel out from Jagannath Puri. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Lord and Master of his devotees, bound by their love, as you hear. This is what we're going to try to appreciate just a little bit. How Lord Chaitanya is so bound by the love of his devotees that sometimes he and the devotees, they have to go through some elaborate dealings with each other because the love is so intense. This may be hard for us to understand in the material world. And certainly, in our relationships with devotees, we aim for this standard, just a drop of that standard, as evidenced by Lord Chaitanya and his devotees. A love so intense between them that sometimes there had to be some kind of circumnavigations, some kind of... even it might appear going behind the back, or even saying or doing things that aren't true. But the overriding principle is the pure love. That's what resolves all the contradictions. And this verse is definitely a contradiction. The Lord is fault-finding, as only the Supreme Personality of Godhead can do. Yet, through that fault-finding, he's actually tasting the sublime qualities of his devotees. But why, then, is he fault-finding, apparently? The whole point is how to go to South India in order to liberate the people there. And Lord Chaitanya knows there is no way the devotees in Jagannath Puri are going to agree. It's not that they don't care about the people in South India. It says, who wants to be separated from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? The Lord has already made his ecstatic entrance into Jagannath Puri. Fainting on the floor of the temple upon the first sight of Lord Jagannath. He's already delivered Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, who, by his own characterization of himself, said he was drier than the driest, and the heart was harder than the hardest. Yet, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu delivered him. Lord Chaitanya will return to Puri. As you know, he'll spend his last years in Puri. But he has this desire to go to South India to spread the Krishna consciousness movement. The love of his associates is so intense that Lord Chaitanya actually has to invent a pretense. He has to tell something that, well, stretches the truth. It stretches the absolute truth a bit. How's that for putting it? He's saying, and as Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami presents the scene in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Kaviraj Goswami knows how to build the emotional impact in his description. So it's not just Lord Chaitanya's activities, it's also Kaviraja Goswami's presentation of those activities. Everything just gets more intense and more intense. As the devotees present these leelas. So Lord Chaitanya grabs their hands and he captures their hearts. You are all dearer than my own life. I can give up my life, but I cannot give up you. Now I have a favor to ask of you. These are personal dealings in perfection. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, the eternal characteristics of the living force in perfection. So after establishing the intense emotional foreground, the emotions in perfection, then Lord Chaitanya presents his request. Grant me this favor. I want to go to South India. I need to find Vishwaroop. This is a very plausible reason. Except for the fact that Lord Chaitanya is the omniscient Supreme Personality of Godhead. He already knows that Vishwaroop has departed from the world. But at the same time, he has to cope with such an intense love from his followers. So some pretense had to be invented because of love. Now, our point is that Lord Chaitanya is not the only one who does these kind of bending of situations because of love. His followers also do it. At the same time, Lord Chaitanya is very determined to uphold the strict, rigid performance of all the sannyasi behaviors. In minute. When Lord Chaitanya presented his request, I want to leave for touring. Naturally, all the devotees were very downcast. Who could leave Lord Chaitanya? Nityananda Prabhu spoke up. South India? Going on tour in South India alone? It's obvious that you want to go alone. We know that the rigid principles of the sannyas order you want to follow, and you want to travel alone without any conveniences. But it can be very dangerous. There are thieves. There are robbers. Please allow me just to make one request. You are the independent. But still, let me make one request and one request only. Take two men with you. They can be any men of your choice. Let them go with you. Then we'll all be satisfied. Just take any two. We are impartial. You make the choice. Of course, I must add that I know all the paths in South India. This way of dealings is so sweet and so intense. First you say, you can pick any two persons. We don't mind. Take these two persons with you. And then you present yourself. Actually... we can learn from this. Nityananda Prabhu is so expert. He has to be expert because Lord Chaitanya is also supremely expert. Lord Chaitanya has put out the pretense, I need to find Vishwaroop. So now Nityananda is saying, robbers are in South India, the paths are difficult, take any two men. And by the way, so now, Lord Chaitanya replies. And notice his reply. He just doesn't say, no, I would rather not that happen. You see, everyone is just increasing the love. Their dealings are just increasing the transcendental affection. So even in their disagreements, the affection is still increasing. So what does Lord Chaitanya say after Nityananda presents himself? Indeed, I know all the paths to the different places of pilgrimage in South India. Just order me and I shall go with you. Lord Chaitanya doesn't immediately counter his proposal. Lord Chaitanya says, I am simply a dancer, and you are the wire puller. However you pull the wires to make me dance, I shall dance in that way. Now, however, the accusations start to fly. First, I'm just a dancer. You pull the strings. Whatever way you pull the strings, I dance in that way. But remember, let's go down memory lane here. You might say, this is Mahaprabhu in the loving lawyer mode. He's bringing up some accusations, some charges. But it, of course, is all based on the most intense love. If we miss that point, then we miss the whole Leela. Point number one. What happened after I took sannyas and was trying to go to Vrindavan? Do you remember? Mahaprabhu was lost in ecstasy trying to go to Vrindavan. He could not tell what was day, what was night. He could not tell which is the right way, which is the wrong way to go. He was drowning in the ecstasy. And then Lord Nityananda conspired with some of the local cowherd boys. When Lord Chaitanya asks you which is the way to go to Vrindavan, you point him in this direction, toward the Ganga. You do that, I'll take care of all the rest. Don't worry. So Lord Nityananda launched that conspiracy, initiated that conspiracy. Those of you who have a mind for world conspiracies, your appetite will be fulfilled by studying Nityananda Prabhu's conspiracies. Tell him Vrindavan's this way. I'll take care of the rest. So indeed the cowherd boys did that. And they pointed Lord Chaitanya in the direction of the Ganga, as you know. And Lord Chaitanya saw Nityananda Prabhu. Where is the Jamuna? Nityananda Prabhu points to the Ganga. There it is, right there. Lord Chaitanya is fully absorbed in his ecstasy, and he offers prayers to the Jamuna and then enters to take bath. As you know, Nityananda Prabhu has dispatched some devotees to go get Advaitacharya, tell Advaitacharya, come here in a boat with some fresh change of clothes. And behind the scenes, Nityananda Prabhu was orchestrating everything for a big gathering at Advaitacharya's house. Go inform Shachimata. So Lord Chaitanya is in the river bathing. Ah, Jamuna. How ecstatic. And then he sees Advaitacharya coming in a boat. Now, Lord Chaitanya is still in ecstasy, but amidst his absorption in ecstasy, Kaviraj Goswami said some doubt was arising. I'm in the Jamuna, yes. Advaitacharya coming in a boat? Advaitacharya lives in Shantipur. Now, I'm in Vrindavan, in the Jamuna. And then Lord Chaitanya came to external consciousness. The Shastra explains that Lord Chaitanya has three states of consciousness, deep internal, in which he's lost in the deepest ecstasies of ecstatic love. And then midway between the deepest absorption and external consciousness, and then the third one is external consciousness. Actually, in all three phases, Lord Chaitanya is at the peak of ecstatic love of Krishna. But that ecstatic love of Krishna manifests in these three phases. So it's not like when he's in external consciousness, his love of Krishna has reduced. No, these are just three ways of looking at the ocean of ecstasy in separation from Krishna, that is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he then came to external consciousness and realized Nityananda has played a trick on him. So now he's bringing that point up. You want to go with me to South India. But here is point number one. But that's not all. What happened when I was on my way to Jagannath Puri to begin with? After I left Advaitacharya's house, after I left all the devotees, and then was on my way to Puri, what did you do with my sannyas rod? What did you do with my danda? You also know this leela, danda bhanga leela. Mahaprabhu was about 6 or so miles outside Jagannath Puri, and he was visiting various temples in his approach to the Puri temple. So he, upon wanting to enter one temple, he entrusted his danda to Nityananda Prabhu. And Lord Nityananda, very expertly and immediately, broke the danda in three parts and threw those parts in the river. So Lord Chaitanya was continuing in his approach to Jagannath Puri, and at a certain point in time, he asked, "All right, Nityananda Prabhu, please, you've been taking care of my danda. Kindly, may I have it?" And Nityananda Prabhu had to reply with something. "Actually, while you were dancing in ecstasy, you fell upon me, and our combined weight then fell upon the danda." And the danda broke. You might say, "What about the pieces to the danda?" Nityananda covered himself for that one too. "I don't know where the pieces went, but you can chastise me in whatever way you like." This is a very ingenious way of doing things. Order me however you like, but at the same time, chastise me in whatever way you like, but things have happened. The acharyas have commented on this Dandabhanga Leela, inviting us to think deeply about the situation. Let's look at the situation of the breaking of the danda and the throwing away of the pieces from Lord Nityananda's point of view. Later we'll consider Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's point of view. But let's look at the situation from Nityananda Prabhu, especially on his holy appearance day. Nityananda Prabhu, the acharyas tell us, particularly Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, thought, "Why does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu have to carry a danda? He's in the highest stage of sannyas. He doesn't have to go through all the four stages of sannyas. He doesn't have to strictly follow all these procedures. Yes, he's just taken sannyas a few months ago, but so what? He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That means he is naturally and eternally and unlimitedly a Paramahansa. So what is this danda stuff?" let the whole world know that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is what he is, the Supreme Paramahansa. That was Nityananda Prabhu's line of thinking. But what was Lord Chaitanya's line of thinking? Lord Chaitanya's line of thinking was that I want to firmly follow all the protocols and etiquettes of sannyas to set an example for everyone in the future. To make sure that those who are neophytes don't immediately declare themselves to be paramahansas. Lord Chaitanya, out of his mercy, wants to strictly follow all the sannyas rules and protocols current in that time. So he was not happy externally. There's the external and then there's the internal. Just like when Gadadhar Pandit wanted to accompany Lord Chaitanya when Lord Chaitanya left Puri to go to Vrindavan. Gadadhar Pandit was declaring, I will throw away all my vows. I'll throw away my vow to never leave Puri, the Chaitra Sannyas vow. The hell with it. I'll throw away my vow to always engage in the service of the Gopinath deity. All these vows will be fulfilled just by my going with you. Lord Chaitanya externally expressed anger because he wanted to support the protocols of Dharma. But internally, of course, that's another situation. So with Lord Chaitanya, you have to understand the external and the internal. Both function in perfection. So you'll find Lord Chaitanya, in his dealings with his devotees, apparently jumping back and forth between the external and the internal. But because Lord Chaitanya is who he is, his external is unlimitedly perfect. His internal is unlimitedly perfect. So therefore, we get from every aspect of his lila, we get the supreme perfection. So we don't put down the external. Oh, these are only Lord Chaitanya's external activities. We relish both the external and the internal, and we try to see how Lord Chaitanya harmonizes both the external and the internal, and how love resolves the paradox. As you may remember, Lord Chaitanya allowed Gadadhar Pandit to follow him a little bit, but then finally, apparently angry, he firmly ordered Gadadhar Pandit, that's enough. If you go any further, the guilt for breaking the religious principles will be on my head. Because you know, Gadadhar Pandit had also, out of love, presented his own pretense to Lord Chaitanya. Why be concerned about what I do with my vows? It's not your fault. It's just that we both happen to be walking in the same direction. In other words, you do your thing, I do my thing. Why all this talk about you're going to be the cause of my breaking my vows? You're walking, I'm walking. Leave it at that. So this went on for some time, but then Lord Chaitanya drew the line and said, that's it. In the case of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda in this breaking of the sannyas danda, Lord Chaitanya also externally expressed his anger. How many possessions do I have? I have very few possessions, and this danda is one of them, and you've broken it. So now you all take your pick, he turned to his followers and said. You take your pick. Either I go ahead of you or I go behind you, but I'm going alone to Puri. The last 6 miles, I'll go alone. out of humility, the devotees immediately said, please, you go ahead, we'll go behind you. Of course, Lord Chaitanya's approach to Puri was such that even though only 6 miles or so remained to get to the temple, each mile seemed endless. This is the feeling of love of Krishna and separation. Lord Chaitanya brought up that point to Nityananda Prabhu. Number two, you did this to my danda. This mystery for the devotees. Mystery number one, why did Nityananda Prabhu break the danda? Mystery number two, though, why did Lord Chaitanya allow him to break the danda? So Lord Chaitanya is actually a loving participant in this conspiracy by Nityananda Prabhu. Because Lord Chaitanya actually allowed Nityananda Prabhu to break the danda. At the same time, he's criticizing Nityananda Prabhu. So in this way, Lord Chaitanya is he's balancing the external with the internal. I want to show what are the protocols of sannyas. At the same time, of course, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Nityananda Prabhu highlighted this paradox. But Lord Chaitanya chose to externally express anger. He also, now that he's wanting to leave to South India, and he's accused Nityananda Prabhu of these two things, he also brings up other devotees too, to make his case very strong. He talks about Jagadananda, how Jagadananda wants him to always enjoy sense gratification. And Lord Chaitanya says, I'm so fearful of his wrath, I have to do whatever he tells me. If I try to lay on the ground, if I try to take bath 3 times a day, even in the winter, Mukunda becomes very unhappy. He doesn't say anything. Unlike Jagadananda, he doesn't say anything. But I know he's unhappy. And when I see him unhappy, I become twice as unhappy. And then there's Damodar. Damodar Pandit. He instructs me. He even chastises me. Now Lord Chaitanya is going to say a very interesting thing. And actually reveal some of what's going on. Damodar Pandit and the others are more advanced in receiving the mercy of Lord Krishna. Therefore, they are independent of public opinion. They want me to enjoy sense gratification, even though it's unethical. But I'm a poor sannyasi. How can I abandon the duties of the renounced order? Because I can't abandon the duties of the renounced order. I follow the duties very strictly. Now, this is very deep, and Srila Prabhupada reveals that in this statement, Lord Chaitanya is actually showing he values pure love, the prema, much more than the external protocols and rituals, even of the sannyas ashram. So by way of his criticizing the devotees, Lord Chaitanya is actually asserting the supremacy of the pure dealings of love on the topmost platform of Krishna conscious behavior. He's apparently attributing fault, as we heard in today's verse, but actually through the accusations, he's tasting the good qualities of the devotees. Now, how much more intense can love get that even when you criticize someone, you're tasting their good qualities? Apparently, Lord Nityananda got the main weight of the accusations, because Nityananda Prabhu had volunteered to go to South India. But Lord Chaitanya's points applied to all his associates. He was feeling the pressure of their love, and by the accusations, he was trying to deal with their love in such a way that he could leave for South India and follow the strict sannyas principles. At the same time, he wants to acknowledge the supremacy of love, so he did that through criticism. This is how deep are the dealings of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees, and Lord Nityananda plays such a prominent role in these dealings. So the devotees saw how determined Lord Chaitanya was. Nityananda is not finished, however. All right, you can do whatever you want, but let's look at the logistics of the situation. You're going to be chanting Hare Krishna and counting the japa, counting your rounds on the other hand. You're going to be carrying your water pot and a very few other items. You need some help because you're going to be chanting and counting your rounds. This time, Lord Nityananda is not advocating himself. He's saying, allow me to pick a very simple brahmana. I will select him. Now, this is very, this is full of significance, because Lord Nityananda is personally going to select Krishnadas. He'll go with you. I promise you, he won't say a word. He won't disturb you. And Lord Chaitanya agrees. The significance is that what's going to happen in the future to Krishnadas? He's going to have some problems with the Bhattataris in South India. He's going to be allured by the charms of the gypsy women that the Bhattataris employ in order to increase their camp. That Krishnadas was personally selected by Lord Nityananda. And he was a personal associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Nevertheless, he's demonstrating that even you can be a direct personal associate of the Lord, but you have your independence. Sometimes, for those of you who want to get into the technical details, devotees, they say, well, how can Krishnadas fall down? He was directly with Lord Chaitanya. That means he's Nitya Siddha. So actually, he didn't fall down. But let's look at the situation the way the acharyas ask us to look at it and derive significance. They've asked us to consider that this shows you always have your minute independence, and even you can be an associate of the Lord, still you can go into Maya. In Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna, in the beginning, is watching Arjuna, as Arjuna looks at the soldiers on both sides and becomes overwhelmed with lamentation, Krishna's watching and he's thinking to himself, just see the power of my Maya. Arjuna is right here on the chariot with me, and still he's falling into Maya. That's why Krishna smiled. It's described in Bhagavad Gita. Well, similarly, Krishnadas, he's chosen by Nityananda Prabhu to accompany Mahaprabhu. Nityananda Prabhu withdrew his own application to go. And he chose Krishnadas. And Krishnadas gets into some trouble. And Lord Chaitanya has to save him. So you know what happened when they got back. to Puri. After all the devotees welcomed Lord Chaitanya and his return, Lord Chaitanya says to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, judge for yourself the quality of this man. He was with me and he fell into Maya. I don't want anything to do with him anymore. He can just go. You can imagine how Krishnadas felt. He had fallen into Maya. He had to personally be rescued by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who practically dragged him out of the gypsy camp by his hair. And now Lord Chaitanya is saying, that's it. Now that we're back in Puri, he can go, he can do whatever he likes. I don't want to see him again. This is Nityananda Prabhu's man. The one whom Nityananda Prabhu chose. And indeed, it is Nityananda Prabhu who comes up with a solution. He and a few other devotees, they met with Krishnadas and they gave him some service. You go to Navadvip and inform Sachimata and all the devotees that Mahaprabhu has returned. So in that way, they kept him in Krishna conscious activities. Still, they had to inform Lord Chaitanya, who had said, I don't want to see him again. He can just go away. So then, when Nityananda Prabhu informed Lord Chaitanya, this is the service we've given him, Lord Chaitanya just presented impartiality. All right, if that's what you all have decided. So here we see Nityananda Prabhu's mercy in keeping his man in Krishna consciousness. So therefore, we want to also be Lord Nityananda's man. We don't want to fall into Maya. And we don't want to debate, well, was Krishnadas Nitya Siddha? And did he really fall into Maya? Is it possible for an associate Lord Chaitanya to fall into Maya? We don't want to go there because we want to take the main road. The main road is, this shows that the living entity has marginal independence to use or abuse. And you can't do away with that reality. Often devotees become, when they start to speculate, they become bewildered. If you're with Krishna, how can you leave Krishna? If you're with Mahaprabhu, how can you leave Mahaprabhu? So how do you explain this? And they can spend hours like this. Year after year, decade after decade. Even though our founder, Acharya, said, don't waste time about this. Still, you know, we like to sometimes waste time. So, was Krishnadas, did he really fall into Maya? Even though the purport says what it does, nevertheless, we must somehow touch our nose by going behind the head. Let's take the main road. And if we can understand the main road, then maybe one day we can worry about the secondary and tertiary paths. So we want to be Nityananda Prabhu's man because Nityananda Prabhu, he was the one who engaged Krishnadas in Gaurhari's service. And even after Krishnadas had some problems, Nityananda Prabhu devised some service for him. This point we want to meditate on very much today. As I said, not that we want to fall into Maya, but we want to be Nityananda Prabhu's men. What other aspects of relationships with Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, can we think of? When Lord Chaitanya was relaying the history of Madhavendra Puri, how Three times the Lord came to Madhavendrapuri in dreams, giving him orders. And how the Lord himself brought milk to Madhavendrapuri. And how Madhavendrapuri went through so much inconvenience, personal inconvenience, to render service to the Gopal deity. After Lord Chaitanya reviewed the facts of this devotee, we'd also like to do a little bit of service so that Lord Chaitanya will review what we've done. This devotee has done this. This devotee has done that. This devotee has endured for my pleasure. This is what we want. So Lord Chaitanya is reciting the glories of Madhavendrapuri. And then to, how do you say, give the stamp on Madhavendrapuri's devotional service. What does Lord Chaitanya do? He says to Nityananda, Nityananda Prabhu, you just consider. You weigh the facts. You weigh the evidence. Have you ever heard of any more ecstatic love than that shown by Madhavendrapuri? So he's presenting to Nityananda Prabhu. You be the judge, he says. Later, Lord Chaitanya is hearing from Nityananda Prabhu about Sakshi Gopal, Gopal the witness deity. Nityananda Prabhu is presenting the katha. And after Nityananda Prabhu finishes his history, he notices a very amazing thing. He notices, because the story is being presented to Lord Chaitanya right in front of the Sakshi Gopal deity. So then Nityananda Prabhu notices at the end, he looks at Lord Chaitanya, he looks at the Gopal deity. They are both the same. Both have huge bodies of molten gold wearing saffron cloth. Both have lotus-like faces. Nityananda Prabhu notices this, and he smiles, and he starts talking to the other devotees there. This is another day in the life of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and his associates. These kind of happenings. This kind of intimacy is what attracts the minds of the devotees. In the material world, my own realization is that... Can you move this over? Thank you. People secretly or not crave for intimacy because intimacy absorbs the consciousness. Therefore, in material existence, the topmost intimacy is described in the Shastra, Pumsastya Mituni Bhava Metam. That bhava, that intense emotional state caused by attraction between male and female. But let's go deeper into the bottom of this bhava, and we see the quest for personal intimacy so that you can be absorbed. If you can get your fingers on this slippery creature, you can save yourself a lot of trials and tribulations in material existence. There's this craving to be absorbed in intimacy. That craving can be satisfied by studying the interactions between Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, and their associates. Because their standard of affectionate exchanges has no rival in the material world. You can see how they relate to each other in chanting and dancing and taking prasad and hearing about Krishna. Even when they accuse each other, there's nothing but the greatest love. And because their affection for one another is so intense, as we said, they have to invent sometimes some pretenses. even to the point of using accusations to taste the other's qualities. Our Krishna conscious society has the potential to offer true absorption so that the whole world can be attracted. It is not impossible. It takes empowerment. It takes some work on oneself. But it is possible even just to get a few drops of that ocean of the relationship between Lord Chaitanya and his associates. It is possible, just a few drops. And those few drops can drown the whole world. Today on this most holy day of the appearance of Nityananda Prabhu, I ask you to remember the intensity of love which was there, even in accusations, even in pretenses, even in Lord Nityananda's pushing himself forward in a very indirect way. Actually, I know all the paths. All this is based on pure love. These dealings shatter stereotypes about what is affection, what is love. And that, of course, is the purpose of the Panchatattva. To shatter all conceptions about no diversity, no variety. Especially because the Mayavadis say everything is one, so Lord Chaitanya says, I'll come as five. You want to make some dry formula out of everything in which dealings are so rigid and hard? Well, just see my dealings with my devotees. Look what Nityananda Prabhu has done to me twice. He did something. He misguided me away from Vrindavan. He broke my danda. And similarly, Lord Chaitanya accused other devotees. Meanwhile, Mahaprabhu himself, in order to go to South India, has to make up a story. Because the love is too intense. Why did Lord Chaitanya want to go alone? And not even take Nityananda Prabhu with him? Because he knew that the devotees are very unhappy to see how rigidly he follows sannyas. And their unhappiness makes Lord Chaitanya twice as unhappy. So in order to make a situation in which Lord Chaitanya could accomplish his mission, at the same time keep the devotees from suffering from love by seeing his rigid performance of austerities and penances, all these maneuvers are going on. When Lord Chaitanya finally leaves for South India, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya is described as the first one to collapse on the ground, unconscious, when Lord Chaitanya actually leaves. And it's Nityananda Prabhu who picks up Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Lord Chaitanya didn't stop. He kept going. So here we are talking about love, and someone is leaving, and the other person collapses on the ground, unconscious, and you just keep walking. Someone may say, what kind of love is this? Any gentleman would stop if someone falls on the ground unconscious when you're about to walk out the door, but not Lord Chaitanya. His perfect, unlimited love is obviously still intact. But at that point, he's choosing a particular variety of showing the love. Just like, for example, you could say, Mother Yashoda, she put Krishna down when she was nursing him to tend to the milk boiling over on the stove. everything was for Krishna's pleasure in her house. There's not one thing in Mother Yashoda's house that's not for Krishna's pleasure. But she chose this variety over another variety. She was nursing Krishna, but she put him down to serve Krishna another way. And as you know, what variety of reaction did Krishna choose? He bit his lips in anger. So again, these pastimes are a challenge to impersonalism. Though Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya collapsed on the ground unconscious, Lord Chaitanya kept walking. And Nityananda Prabhu and a few others accompanied him further. And then Lord Chaitanya left them too. And those last devotees who were with him, they also fell down on the ground unconscious. But Lord Chaitanya kept walking. He did not turn back. So these are the ways of the intense absorption in love. And just by considering these intense absorptions in love and all the maneuvers that love produces, accusations, pretenses, even fabrications, all these things simply intensify the love. And by hearing about these dealings, our hearts become satisfied in their eternal quest for intimacy and absorption. You see, the intimacy that we long for, we hope will produce absorption. We want our consciousness to be absorbed in an intense affair. So Lord Chaitanya and his associates present the most intense loving dealings. Even there's external anger, although inwardly there's affection. All this is going on. All the varieties are going on with the common denominator of pure love. So I think I will end here with the plea that we all pray today to be Lord Nityananda's man. We don't want to do what Krishnadas did at the same time. If we become Lord Nityananda's man, he will take care of us through all the trials and tribulations of this world. He'll recommend us for the service of Lord Chaitanya. He'll defend us in the service of Lord Chaitanya. He'll keep us engaged in the service of Lord Chaitanya. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions? Yes. Oh, comment.
My question is, we noticed that Lord Chaitanya, when he saw that Krishnadas was expressing his minute independence and he rescued him, then when they finally got back to Puri, he said, okay, you want to express your minute independence, go and express your minute independence. Whereas Nityananda made arrangements to engage him, keep him engaged. So my question is, this Krishna consciousness movement, is it Lord Chaitanya's mission or Nityananda's mission?
You cannot have one without the other. That was Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami's experience. He describes how he went to Vrindavan because there was some misunderstanding at home. And Lord Nityananda ordered him, go to Vrindavan. There you'll find your good fortune. there was some misunderstanding about Lord Nityananda's position. You cannot have half the hand. And why would we want half the hand? Especially after hearing such wonderful dealings between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. Anything else? Yes. Atmananda Prabhu.
Also, thank you very, very much. It seems that Prabhu's question brings up another question for me, that Lord Chaitanya, on the one hand, was apparently heavy, harsh, with Krishna Das, with Chota Hari Das. At the same time, he's, in one sense, ignoring the love of his devotees by taking on a higher priority, it seems, because he went, he didn't have to follow all the protocols and the etiquette, but he did it for the sake of the public, the less advanced, materialistic. And he even ignored Sarvabhaumacharya's collapsing for the sake of sticking to those principles for the sake of the masses. So on the one hand, he's harsh or heavy, so to speak, but he's also unlimitedly merciful that he even ignores that in some way, the higher love for the sake of manifesting that love in the form of compassion with the general public. So I guess that could seem like a contradiction, but maybe you wanted to say something about that?
His external and his internal are all about compassion. His external was wanting to follow strictly the sannyas dharma to show the proper way things are done. So that's his compassion also. He's nothing but compassion. Externally, internally. Now, please remember that in the purport we read, we find out that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes not follow the strict protocols. That reality is there. Because the love he felt for his associates and the pain that they were feeling, seeing him strictly following the austerities, it was so intense that Lord Chaitanya would sometimes not follow all the protocols. And we read how Srila Prabhupada points out that there are many extraordinary devotees who don't always practice Krishna consciousness in a way that fits in with conventional understanding of what proper protocols are. And in this way, they show their independence, and they show how actually pure love of Krishna is on its own level. So Prabhupada acknowledges that reality, and then at the end, he gives a practical point for our Krishna conscious society. Because Chaitanya Charitamrita, amidst all the ecstatic dealings between Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda and the others, is full of the founder Acharya's practical tips and directives for how to spread Krishna consciousness in this world. So at the end of the purport, Srila Prabhupada, after looking at the issue from both sides, the external, the internal, the disregard of the external, because the internal is more important. But then at the end, he concludes, we are in this material world, and we have to take into account the public's perceptions. That's also compassion. Yes.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very nice class. You are mentioning about the need to get absorbed in trying to understand these pastimes, and you were speaking about being Lord Nityananda's man. One question came to my mind at that time about how, when we are new in Krishna consciousness, the challenge seems to be that we should come to 16 rounds, we should start chanting 16 rounds, or come to temple once a week and attend festivals and things like that. And after some years, this seems to be going on without a problem, in the sense we come to temple, we chant 16 rounds, we are initiated. But the problem seems to be that we get caught up in the externals of this bhakti, or it becomes very ritualistic. So when you were speaking Gaur Leela, I was just feeling that you are really getting nourishment and you are relishing this. So I was wanting to know how we can break through the barrier of this, you know, ritualistic external kind of bhakti and actually start internalizing this katha, this chanting, and or should we just carry on in a devotional service, hoping that one day we'll get taste?
The more that you have an opportunity to sacrifice your heart in a service, the more what you're talking about will come to the fore. To perform devotional service with a spirit of sacrifice, that's what breaks the hard shell around the heart. Anyone can do something when circumstances are nice. But when there is some apparent austerity in terms of doing a particular service for Krishna, then your heart is tested. In the great necessity now to save the world from its dark condition, that situation, that necessity provides opportunity for devotees to rise above any external execution of devotional service that's manifested over the years. Because you can't preach, you can't reach out to others effectively in a sustainable way without the heart being opened. That is our austerity in this day and age. Srila Prabhupada explained once that in previous yugas, yogis would spend thousands of years in the Himalayas in the freezing cold or the blazing hot summer and minimizing their eating, even minimizing their breathing. He said, but what is our austerity in this age of Kali? Our austerity is trying to give Krishna consciousness to so many people who have become crazy because of contact with the material energy. That's our yogic austerity for this day and age. So anyone who tries to continually give Krishna to others, you'll see you can't sustain that without some serious work on your own heart. There'll be the tendency, it can happen, the tendency can creep in after some time to just do it externally, go through the motions, but you won't be able to go on then. In other words, the service will challenge your heart, and that's good. I have concluded that it's a great opportunity whenever you think that particular service you're doing is it's the same old thing, it's becoming a routine. When that mentality enters, it's a great opportunity to go to another level. Okay, my mind is telling me this. It's the same old, same thing. I need to do something else that's exciting. I need some change. When the mind tells you that, this is a great chance to rebel and take your Krishna consciousness to another level. you look that mentality firmly in the eye, so to speak, and you say, okay, I recognize that this is what my mind is perceiving, but I'm going to just ignore it and push ahead in praying to Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, that they reveal how, in this particular situation and this particular service I have, their mercy will flow upon me and upon others. It's a great opportunity to take your bhakti to another level whenever you start to feel this material sense of routine and familiarity. You take it in a sporting way even. Okay, so that's the presentation from Maya, that I've been doing this thing day after day, same thing. All right, we'll see about that. We'll see what we're going to do about that. My mind and senses are telling me one thing, but I'm going to go another route. It's exciting. I have a sense of sport, you know? Krishna consciousness is exciting. So you have to learn how to take advantage of these opportunities for excitement, real excitement. The past few months I've been feeling like, oh, it's a routine. Whatever my service is, it can be any kind of service. There's no exemptions in terms of what the material mind can conjure up. Whatever service you have, whether it's, you know, college preaching or book distribution or cooking or managing, sooner or later, the material mind with its tendencies may try to interfere. Another day in the office. Yes, Prabhu. What do you want? I mean, Kijai Prabhu. When that starts to creep in, we get a great opportunity to rebel and take our existence, our bhakti existence, to another level. I often give this example in terms of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. As the years go by, a material tendency can creep in. I know it doesn't happen here, but it can creep in that, okay, I've read these books again and again. It's time for something new. I know all the pastimes. I know all the purports. I need something new. Mm-hmm. At that moment, you have a great opportunity to take your immersion in Prabhupada's books to another level. I know my mind is telling me like this, but I'm not going to listen. I'm going to pray to the Lord that I can go to a deeper level. The same thing with the holy name. Our material mind can make a routine, make a rut out of anything. And then we attribute it to the service, we attribute it to the devotional activity, instead of attributing that rut to our own mind. So therefore, when you start to feel that way, routine, rut, habitual, familiar, take it as an opportunity to go deeper, and you'll come out successful.
Krishna Maharaj, thanks for the wonderful class. Maharaj, you explained how if love is the common denominator, the interactions, etc., are taken in the background of that love. And therefore, there is no scope for misunderstanding. The love only increases. But for us, for devotees who are in this material world, love may not be the common denominator. And we are trying to develop love. And often in interactions, we have to be extremely respectful with devotees. We have to be extremely respectful with devotees. That's what we have been learning. But there could be a word or two, there could be a statement or two which we speak, which we don't know what the impact is on the other person. And sometimes you do it out of good intention or partly good intention or whatever. And then it just bites you for the rest of your life. I mean, why did I speak like that? The devotee must have been hurt. And especially if you're interacting with so many devotees, sometimes you just feel like drowning yourself. You know, you don't know this. sometimes we feel like drowning ourselves just because we deal with devotees, we try to do things respectfully, but there could be a word or two we spoke wrongly. And how can we keep increasing our respect level? And I mean, is it just a mental concoction that we feel sensitive to what others are feeling, or is it important that we feel this way?
As we hopefully advance in Krishna consciousness, we become more and more sensitive. We become more and more conscious of our need to improve, things we have to work on. We never get to the end of that. So it's a great blessing from Krishna that we become more and more aware of our limitations. We don't want limitations in terms of our shortcomings, but thanks to Krishna, we see that there is unlimited progress possible in bhakti, and that's a great benediction. There's no ceiling over our head. Maybe some of you have worked jobs in which there's no opportunity for any promotion. It's discouraging. So Krishna, being the dearmost well-wisher of his devotees, he knows how to make sure that in your bhakti you never feel that there's a ceiling over your head. There's no glass ceiling. You always feel there's so much more to improve. I remember one of the last words that His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj told me was, he said, whatever service you've done, there is always so much more service in this world to do. Don't take it as a bad thing to always be overwhelmed in trying to serve Krishna. That is wonderful. So many things I need to improve on. So much service I could do better if I was just more Krishna conscious. That is actually a great luxury. It's wealth. In other words, there's no ceiling over your head. You can see limitless room for expansion in Krishna's service. That's wonderful. And when you're around other devotees, if in some way you're a real devotee, you're always thinking, how much better these devotees are. Who am I? It's amazing how in mad moments I can think I'm someone special. It's amazing. And look at the facts. The facts are right before my eyes. Now, what am I going to do about those facts? Am I going to deny it? Why not accept it? So these are all great opportunities in Krishna consciousness, in our Krishna conscious career. Suddenly you realize there's no glass ceiling over my head. There's room for unlimited improvement. I'll never get to the point where I think, now I've done everything perfectly. So we should not resent that. Perhaps through impersonalism and voidism, whatever traces are still there in our heart, we have this false idea of advancement, that one day I'm going to get to the point where I know I'm doing everything right and there's no room for improvement. Krishna's mercy, ki jai. And what did the greatest bhakta, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what did he himself say? He said, look, I'll tell you something. If you see tears in my eyes while I'm practicing devotional service, let's talk about the truth. You should know it's just a show. Because if I actually loved Krishna, I would have died long ago from separation. So there's the standard. We have unlimited growth possibilities in bhakti. We spoke about growth last night briefly to some young devotees who had gathered. how the whole world is so addicted to the concept of economic growth. And now that they're in whatever little intelligence they have is telling them, you can't have unlimited economic growth in a finite world with finite resources. They don't know what to do with themselves. In Europe, in North America, they're just pulling their hairs. What are we going to do now? Just let India and China take all the economic growth glory? What are we going to do? We can't grow anymore. Oh, no. So now there's a new term for those first world economies, like in Europe, USA, North America, in order so they don't have inferiority feelings. The word is, they are called mature economies. It's a polite way of saying they're over the hill. You know, there's no new surge of growth possible like in India. You think of the materialist vision of India and you think of Lord Nityananda's vision of India. The materialist vision of India we spoke about last night. 1 billion consumers. Wow. Soon to have a population greater than China. That's the materialistic vision. How to get these people to just consume. The mature economies have run out of room for growth. All their consumers are overloaded. I mean, after all, how many TVs can you have in your home? Now India is the hope to save the world through consumption, not Dharma, but consumption. That's how they think. For example, just to give you an idea, to as evidence that this is how the thought process is when a materialist looks at the world. Because a mode of passion means there has to be more and more attempts to enjoy the material world. You cannot say, okay, that's enough. That's why sustainability has such a problem amongst materialistic persons who are saturated with motive passion. They even talk about sustainability. They have big meetings in Copenhagen, but no one wants to reduce because it's not. They're hardwired. Their brains are hardwired with passion. More, more, grow. You cut back and then we'll cut back. You reduce and then we'll reduce. No one wants to. One, for example, the president of Coca-Cola, he gives you a good idea of how the thinking process works. He was talking about Indonesia. He said, when I think of a country of 200 million persons that's on the equator, and also that country has 50% of its people under the age of 21, and furthermore, that country has a Muslim ban on alcohol. When I think of all these things, I, as a president of Coca-Cola, know what heaven is. Let's grow. But that growth is destroying the world, is destroying people. We want to show them the real way to grow. We're not anti-growth. We're all for growth. We can show growth individually and collectively. Unless that example is there. What is the hope for people in this darkness of ignorance today? So therefore, it is a great benediction to feel that in your devotional service, there's room for unlimited improvement, unlimited growth. We should thank Lord Nityananda for giving us absorbing devotional service so that we can understand that reality.
Maharaj, here. Thank you for your answer. Maharaj, your answer was wonderful as for personal development. But the other part of the question was, when we perform an activity trying to be sensitive but not 100% sensitive enough in our devotional relationships, and if the devotees get hurt, how do we get out of that, or how do we resolve this guilt that kills us, and how do we prevent such things again and again happening?
Well, there's two things. There's apologies. Often devotees, though, don't like to be apologized to. So you have to be a bit more clever. Find a way to serve the devotee. And sometimes you have to be a bit sneaky about it. Some or other, find a way. This is part of Vaishnava sports. There's always something that you can do, even though it may seem small. You're trying, and Krishna in your heart, he sees you're trying. Hurting, though, that's something else. Because the devotee's heart is soft, naturally you can feel that, oh, I hurt someone. One has to be very careful, especially with words. There's an expression in English, loose lips sink ships. And devotees, in general, they can get quite carried away with their tongue and the things they say because of familiarity. After all, Prabhu, Vaishnava should be straightforward, so you are such and such as... Associating with devotees, it takes empowerment. And so today is a good day to pray to Lord Nityananda, please empower me that I can associate with devotees, because I can't do it materially. It's not a material art. It's not a material skill. You cannot just get a book, How to Win Friends and Influence People. Doesn't work like that. It's a divine art, a divine skill. And certainly it's very wonderful to be conscious that we don't want to hurt devotees, you don't want to injure devotees. So these are just some aspects to your question. Hopefully the aspects are a little helpful. Apologies. Most of all, be expert at service. Some or other. Krishna's in their heart, Krishna's in your heart. He knows. You're trying. And because Krishna's in everyone's heart, things do balance. So I think it's getting a little late. Or there's no limits on... So I thank you all very much for your kind association. Hare Krishna.